Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 3rd, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the fifth Sunday of Easter. Continued Easter blessings be upon you. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast, wherever and whenever you are listening. And I would love for us just to jump right into things here, to begin as we do in our practice and our custom. Our tradition is to begin in a spirit of thanksgiving by taking in a big, deep breath and celebrating it for the gift that it is. So let's do that together. Let's take in a big breath. When you take that in, hold on to it. But don't just hold it, savor it for the gift that it is. It is the gift of life. Let it go. Now take in another one. And as you take that breath in and as you savor it, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the situations, and the opportunities in your life that fill you with light and hope and peace and love and joy. They're all a gift from our good God. And perhaps open your hands as wide as they will go and then extend your arms, turn your face toward the sky. Maybe name the people you're thinking of, the places, the opportunities, the gifts, name them. Thank God for everything. And in this posture, in this spirit, let us begin together in worship.
Call to worship. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Christ. We come seeking peace, placing our trust in the one who prepares a place for us. In the house of the Lord, there is room for all, and a promise that we are never alone. We gather with hope, knowing that Christ is with us now and always. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We follow in his way. We rest in his truth. We rejoice in his life. Whatever we ask in his name, he will do, that God may be glorified. We worship with faith, trusting in his power and love. Come, let us worship the God who welcomes us home. Today's scripture reading comes from John 14, verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it."
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we call out to you in this moment, and we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of this, your good and living word, a word that enlightens and encourages, challenges and inspires. And we pray that you'll meet us here as we pause and reflect on what it is you're saying to us. And we humbly and faithfully ask for your help. We pray that you would bring us to a point of stillness, that you'd center our minds, focus our attention on what it is you're saying to us, that you'd save us from misinterpretation and the distractions of everyday life, so that we could truly hear this, your good and living word. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, friends, on this fifth Sunday of Easter, the lectionary blesses us with this reading from the 14th chapter of John's Gospel, verses 1 through 14. And this section of Scripture, chapter 14 through chapter 17, are often described as or labeled as Jesus' farewell discourse, his last opportunity to teach his disciples before his crucifixion. There is an urgency about how he's teaching. There is this deep desire he has that they would be unified amongst themselves and that the focus of their attention in the moment and in the days ahead will be squarely on him. They're gathered in the upper room. This is the event of the Last Supper that he has with them. It's clear as you read through these chapters his deep and abiding love for all of them and his anticipation and hope of what they will be able to do in the days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, millennia ahead. He has set them on a path, but they're still having trouble understanding who he is and why he has come. He has selected each and every one of them because of a particular gift or talent or disposition of mind and spirit that they have. There is a simplicity about all of them that makes them very open, allowed them to follow him for the last 3 years, if we can imagine that. This comes at the end of 3 years of earthly ministry, where this collection of apostles, disciples, left vocations and family, took this great risk, turned their whole lives into his care, lived under his teaching, walked the path he walked, witnessed the miracles he performed, were challenged and sent out to do the same, and they did. And we would think that they were ready for graduation, that they'd really gained clear insight into who Jesus is and why he's come. But in this moment, we realize that they still have more questions than answers, that they've had trouble understanding a lot of the teaching, interpreting the signs. And so at the beginning of this 14th chapter, we have Jesus starting to teach them, aware of the challenges they have. In verse 1, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." We know what's coming. They might have had some fear and concern about the intensity that's in the air, the fact that they're meeting in secret, all of these things. So in that, he gives this word of encouragement. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Right? This is all about us and our ability to invite others to this thing, this community that we are creating. And maybe some of them are nodding and hanging on every word, or some are shuffling their feet or wringing their hands because they're still not exactly sure what's happening. And God bless Thomas, who seems pretty comfortable around Jesus expressing his misunderstanding. So Thomas speaks up in verse 5. Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Thomas is looking for like an instruction manual, a triptych. Do you remember the triptych? You used to get those from AAA. It would outline your whole travels. You'd send something to AAA and they would give you the associated maps. Thomas wants a map. "Just show me. Tell me plain." Aren't we like that? Aren't we like Thomas? Wouldn't it be just easier if we got an instruction manual of some kind? He's frustrated. There's beautiful words that he says at the beginning of this talk, but Thomas wants him to just be out with it. Jesus replies to Thomas' question, "Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, Thomas, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Do you see? Thomas has gotten the ball rolling, and now Philip raises his hand and he said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. I'm kind of with Thomas on this one. Just show us the way. How do we know where you're going? There's a frustration. Jesus has just said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And just an aside, I was putting my notes together and reading and rereading this text and making notes. I had written down in the margin, WTL, way, truth, and life, which called to mind a shorthand that people use when they send text messages to each other. Probably not you, but sometimes among my friends or people I read online, they use a shorthand for their frustration or their anger about something someone has said or done that is not WTL, it is WTF. I'll soften it. What the heck? What's going on here? That's ridiculous. That's silly. I'm frustrated, summarized in WTF. If this was a text exchange between and among the disciples, Jesus in a group chat with the others, and he texts to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And then Thomas says, how do we know the way? WTF, Jesus? Pardon me, I'll give up this illustration in just a minute. And Jesus responds, WTL. Philip, Thomas, the rest of you, the previous 3 years have all been about this. Haven't you seen? Do you remember how you told me that when I preached a particular sermon, you told me that I preached as if I was the author of the story? I showed you the meaning of the prophets and the law, the times that blind eyes were opened, deaf ears could hear, that the lame could walk. Did you not know who it was that was moving through me? And if you missed it, well, just let me remind you. It's a crude summary of verse 9. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time, Philip? And you still do not know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Everything that you've seen me do, every miracle, the endurance that we've shown, it's all from God the Father that lives in me. I can't do anything I do without this abiding love and presence of God in me. So Thomas, so Philip, the rest of you, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And if in this moment that's too much for you to figure out, think back. And for those of us in the present moment, go back to chapter 1 and read the stories of the teachings and the miracles. Because if it's too much for you to hear me say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, that's too much. believe because of the works themselves. They all point to the same source, the same reality. Thomas, Philip, me and you, the fullness of the heart, mind, spirit, the full love of God is embodied in the person of Jesus. And truly, he says in verse 12, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. This is the whole heart of Christian theology. So any notion that we have that Jesus was an inspired teacher, he pointed us in a direction, that he left some good instructions, push that aside. Sit with the others in that room. Allow him to look you in the eyes and tell you, I am the way. I'm the truth and the life. If you want to know God, if you want to know God's will for your life, if you want to participate in the kingdom of heaven now, if you want to live with me, abide with me, do you see the relationship I have with God? The fullness of the love of God, Jesus says, animates everything I think, say, and do. Everything that I'm about to endure is because of God. And that same wisdom, vision, strength, character, love is available to you. And it's right here. We can read this story and then think back a couple weeks to the evening of the first day of the week, Easter Sunday, when Jesus appears in the room where they're worried and they're wondering what's next, and perhaps they're forgetting what he had told them on Thursday, the previous week. He comes in and he says, "Peace be with you." And they see him, and they see his wounds, and they see the full embodiment of everything that he foretold, everything he taught, and he gives them his peace. And who's not there? Thomas, who is still trying to make sense of all of this in his heart. But then he has his chance to see and believe. And Jesus tells them all, you have seen. You have come because you have seen. You've walked with me. And you've come to believe in the works. And you've come to believe in this truth in my presence. Blessed are those who have not seen and come to believe. That's me. And that's you. We didn't walk with him for 3 years of earthly ministry. We didn't see with our own eyes every miracle that he performed. But these that did became new people. They became new people. And they were filled with the same courage he had. They were filled with the same kind of love. They abide in the same kind of love that Jesus embodied, the love between the Father and the Son. that he so earnestly prayed that this group would have the same relationship with him, so that the relationship between God the Father and God the Son would be the same relationship that they would have with him. And through this gift of the Holy Spirit, they would complete the work that he started. They would do things even greater than he did. Wouldn't just impact his hometown, but indeed they would go out and change the world. That's our inheritance. That's why it's so important for us to sit in the room with them in the 14th chapter of John and to hear him say, "Believe in me," that is, be like me, have my life in you. It doesn't require complicated books of systematic theology. It requires the desire to live this new kind of life. The inbreaking of the kingdom of God into the here, into the now, and the promise that he will return. Everything will be put right, but we don't have to wait. We can abide in the house that he has prepared for us right here and right now. And so anytime we throw up our hands in frustration and say, "What the heck?" we can delete that and remind ourselves way and truth and life. That's the heart of the gospel, to abide with him, to live like he lived. Accept the kind of forgiveness that he offers and offer it in kind to those around us. It's beautiful, rich, good news that will provide us with hope now and forever. Good news to which we can say, Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we call out to you and we pray. We ask your presence among us. We come before you with all the faith that we can muster, and in full humility and vulnerability, God, we know that you know us. You know our impulses and our unchecked appetites. You know our unbridled tongue, and you know when we are improperly silent. You know our sin. We come before you and we confess these things, the sins that we're aware of, and we stand open and vulnerable to the things that we're not even aware of. We come to you with open hands and turned out pockets, because we need your help. The depth and the breadth of your forgiveness and your grace, pour it out upon us, we humbly pray. So that we could be renewed, revitalized, ready to move on from this moment with the assurance that you indeed are with us. God, we pray over this, your good world. We pray over people in positions of power and influence. Show them the way. Show them their sin. Inspire them by the way of forgiveness. Bring resurrection and revival to this, your good world. And we pray over the people that we encounter on any given day, the people in traffic, the people at work, the people at the store, those going about their business. Inspire them and inspire all of us in our work and our vocations, whatever they may be, that they might all be done to your glory. We could see it and name it as such. And we pray, God, you know us. Some of us keep prayer lists, situations and people and places we're praying over, opportunities that might be coming, new things that we're looking toward, or old frustrations and habits. You know the list. Sometimes we share them with other people, but we're pretty cautious about this list. Sometimes it keeps us up at night. You know it. And so we take a moment here in prayer to hand you this list. We humbly ask that you read every word of every list. Consider it and respond to us. We pause for a moment to sit quietly, to seek peace, so that we might be able to hear your voice. We break our silence. We thank you for the gift of peace and quiet. Help us to celebrate these gifts every day. And help us to celebrate the gifts of our faith and our tradition. Among them, this prayer that we inherit, prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so with our eyes fixed firmly on Jesus, the one who has shown us the way, the one who is the way to the eternal kind of life here and now. A life of grace and peace and hope and love and joy in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, all of it pointing to our good God. The God that we have come to know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.